Some of you asked me today, I thought we're doing Megillah. Why are we starting? This is Megillah. Why are we doing Bava Kamma if we're starting with the
third? Megillah does everything except for Megillah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So we're doing the third parak of Megillah, but we're starting with the Gemara and Bava Kamma. Why are we starting with the Gemara and Bava Kamma? Because the Gemara and Bava Kamma on Daf Pei Beis is the history of Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara indicates that there were two stages of Kriyas HaTorah, two stages of decrees that happened in Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara says that the first one was at the time of when the Jews were in the desert. They went 3 days without water, and the Dorshei Rishim was Omru. What does it mean? They went 3 days without water, and they complained. It refers to 3 days without Talmud Torah, and then the Nevi'im got up and said that we have to make sure Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, to make sure we don't go 3 days without Torah, and the Gemara does the math for you. And then there's something called Takanas Ezra. So the way that we're going to split up, just to be transparent, is this week we're going to focus on that first takana, what the Gemara calls the Takanas Nevi'im. Next week we're going to focus on what's the difference with Takanas Ezra, why are there all these changes? That's going to be Rabbi Lichtman. And then we're going to get back to Megillah. Don't worry, we're going to start the parak of Kriyas HaTorah. But to give this background, this framework of understanding what exactly are we doing when we're reading the Torah, what's the original decree, what was changed in the next decree, and hopefully through that gain an appreciation of Kriyas HaTorah. So we have some questions. Why were there two stages? Like, what was added? So those things, for the most part, we're going to talk about next week. But today I want to focus on that first takana, which is what the Gemara calls Takanas Nevi'im. So if you turn over to, I made sure that the Hebrew and the English source packets are lined up source-wise. So whenever I say a source, if you're in English, it's the same source. Hebrew, it's the same source. And I made sure that the questions were in both. So hopefully you got the guiding questions in both. But the Rambam says, who made this Takana, the first Takana? It wasn't the Nevi'im. It was
Moses.
Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses made the Takana. And the question is, why does the Rambam deviate from the Gemara? The Gemara says it was the Nevi'im. It was all prophets, plural. And then the Rambam says that it's Moshe. So the Kesef Mishnah already tells you, he gives three explanations, which are really all overlapping. Number one, if Moshe is together with a group of Nevi'im, so who are you going to mention? Who's going to get the credit? You're going to talk about the Gadol. You're going to talk about the greatest person there. And that is obviously Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, we're going to call it Takanas Moshe because Moshe was one of the Nevi'im. That's explanation number one. Explanation number two is that, if Moshe Rabbeinu is there, if he's not okay with it, are they going through with that decree? No chance, right? If Moshe Rabbeinu said this is a terrible idea, it wouldn't happen. Moshe Rabbeinu is ultimately in charge, and therefore it's going to be called Takanas Moshe. That's his second explanation. And the third explanation that he gives is this Yerushalmi, or the Rift, this, in the Palestinian Talmud, that there's some versions of the Gemara that says Moshe Rabbeinu made the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontif, so that seems to indicate that Moshe specifically made Torah, Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontif, Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, and that is based on the Yerushalmi. So there's different versions that do include Moshe Rabbeinu beyond just what our Gemara and Bava Kamma is. But either way, so for the rest of today, again, I'm follow the briskers, so which means that we follow the Rambam. So we're going to refer to today Takanas Moshe, and that's what it's called because that's what the Rambam calls it. So we're going to be Takanas Moshe, and that's what we're going to address. But the obvious question is, what is Takanas Moshe? What is it trying to accomplish? Why do we read the Torah? Before we speak about a parak of all the ideas behind what we do and what we read, standing, not standing, Meturgaman, no Meturgaman, do you need someone to translate? Do you not need someone to translate? First, let's just get at the basics. Why do we read the Torah? Why do we read Torah Shebichtav? Why do we have an institution called Kriyas HaTorah? And that's really the overarching question which we want to address. So first, that's just the structure of what we're doing, and hopefully it was structured and clear to you, which is, first we're going to speak about the nature of the written Torah, then we're going to contrast that with the nature of the oral Torah, then try and deepen that to two aspects of the written Torah, that maybe there's more than just one aspect, there's two aspects, and then finally we'll get back to our central question, which is, what was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to accomplish? And we'll hopefully finish on time. Okay, so the written Torah. So we have this pasuk, which is said in the context of Har Sinai, and the Rav makes a big deal of this pasuk, and he notes a phenomenon. That when it comes to the written Torah, or elements of the written Torah, we'll often find the verb vayikra. So if you look in Pasuk Zayin in source number 3, vayikach sefer habris, vayikra ba'aznei ha'am. Vayomru kol asher diber Hashem, we should know the last two words of that Pasuk, nasa v'nishma. Famously, actually, not in Parshas Yisro, where you'd expect, but much later on in Parshas Mishpatim. But the point is that the Rav notes is that in Torah Shebichsav we find this phenomenon that we don't say that you should write down the bris or just transmit it. There's this verb of reading. We're supposed to read the written Torah. And the Rav says, we see that even without learning, it doesn't say teach this, you know, this covenant. Rather, it says to read this covenant. So the Rav wants to suggest, and he has, again, this is one of his proofs, and we're going to note two more proofs in a second, that there's this idea when it comes to the written Torah, the Torah Shebichsav, that there's an element of just reading even though you don't understand. Read it even though you don't understand, and there's something prominent about that. We have to understand why that's the case, but the fact that it exists seems to be clear. Again, this is proof number one that the Rav is going to draw. Namely, this he's very poetic. The fourth last line in the bottom, if you're in source number 4, I don't know what it is in the English, I apologize, but pe'ulas ha'kriya ba'aznayim, reading that goes into the ears, lo ha'limut she'nitfas b'lev uv'moach, heyos mokad ha'pu'ula. The central focus is going to be the reading, and therefore there's something called reading the Torah, irrespective of whether you understand it. That's step one. And what are some other indications of this idea? If we turn over to source number 5, which on the Hebrew packet is on page number 2, is the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Gimel. So I made sure to give you the whole background in the Gemara just because it's a great story, right? They go, what interesting thing happened in the Beis Medrash? We need to know what happened. And, you know, after they say what happened, you were going to hold this back for me? What would I do without this pearl? But what is that pearl? Famously, there's a mitzvah of Hakel. Again, we can talk about it a different time. It definitely relates to this idea. And it actually might be the one Kriyas HaTorah, which is going to be on a Daraisa level, right? That we're going to have the king read certain sections of Sefer Dvarim around the Shemitah, again, right after Shemitah, and to gather everyone for Bnei Yisrael. And Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah's point in the Gemara is, we're bringing even the women and the children. So why do we bring the woman and the children? The Gemara says, Taf lama bain, kidei liten schar l'mivieihan. So, we'll give schar. But the Rav wants to prove from here that why do we bring the children and the woman? They're not going to understand what's going on. Again, he's assuming woman now might obviously be much more educated. We'll leave that to a different time. And we'll have to get back to that when it comes to other elements of Kriyas HaTorah, whether women could read from the Torah, things like that. But why are we bringing women and children? The Rav suggests, because we're creating an experience. If Torah is not just about reading the Torah, if reading the Torah is a special element of Talmud Torah, of the written Torah, irrespective of understanding, so we are going to create a Talmud Torah experience of Torah Shebichsav related to the written Torah, even when you're not learning something. Even just hearing something. You're a child. You know, my 2-year-old or my 1-year-old, they're not going to understand what's going on, but they are coming in contact with Torah Shebichsav. And that is something which is inherently valuable. And the Rambam similarly has a similar idea in source number 6. And he says that Gerim, who don't have any converts, they have no idea what's going on. But they too are going to come to partake in this experience. And the Rav concludes in source number 7, based on this Gemara and this Rambam, Mufurish Hadavar. It's explicit. Ki yeshno kiyam miyuchad shel Talmud Torah, behartzas divrei Torah shebichsav, af im hakriya netula havana. That just there is a special fulfillment of learning Torah, even if reading it in your reading you do not understand. We see that from the pasuk of the bris after Har Sinai. We see that from bringing women and children. We see that from the Gerim. So that's step one, namely that Talmud Torah has an element of reading without understanding, and that is going to apply by the written Torah. Yes.
So our question was: are there two different mitzvot? Or are they one mitzvah? Is it one mitzvah that's fulfilled in two different ways?
So we're going to have to get back to that. Well, remind me if I don't touch on that question to get back to that by the section of two aspects. Because right now he's just trying to distinguish that written Torah is fulfilled by just reading it. Right now it sounds like, and he's going to the extreme, that might be what the mitzvah is. It's not even necessarily about learning it. It's just about reading it. We'll have to see later. He's going to qualify. Again, just if I didn't say this before, I've said it in the past. What is this Shirim Lezecher Abba Mari? Right, this is Rav Soloveitchik's Yortzeit Drashas, which the Tversky family, the Lichtenstein family, wrote up. He would speak for over 4 hours on the topic. So one of the Yortzeit Drashas is devoted to the topic of Kriyas HaTorah and comparing Takanas Moshe and Takanas Ezra. So that's where this is from, and it was 4 hours here. I'm giving it to you in
30 minutes.
30 minutes. So, it didn't take 4 hours to read, but no. But also, it's gonna be. I'm also cheating because we're doing it in two parts, so it's still taking us closer to an hour. But this is the idea that emerges. Okay, but there is a difference, right? Yeah. That's the all when it comes to the written Torah. That just reading it's going to be a fulfillment. But when it comes to the Torah Shebaal Peh, when it comes to the oral Torah, things are going to be different. I hope you all got a nice kick out of sources 8 and 9. Amar Reb Zeira, so in the Brag Mar and Brachos on the Vavam Abeis, Amar Reb Zeira, Igra Deparka Riata. Yeah, right. The reward for coming to this year right now is not about understanding anything that you're going to get. Rather, it's about coming. You ran here, you drove here, you got out of your cars, it's 40 degrees, now it's closer to 60, I think. So on the way back, you could enjoy that. But you're welcome. But the schar you really get is running or coming. And the obvious question is, why? What about you listen to the shir? Rashi says, most people, A, don't really understand the shir, and even if they understand the shir, you know, you're not going to remember tomorrow. Who cares?
Not very complimentary.
Not so complimentary. But what it comes, what emerges...
What happened to tonight?
Well, maybe tonight you'll understand it, but Rashi assumes, and this is taking us, the Rav notes that Rashi is taking a step farther, that by Torah Shebaal Peh, not only do you have to understand it, maybe you have to understand it and be able to repeat it. Right, and that you have to have it such a clear understanding of it that you'll be able to repeat it to someone else, and you're going to remember that. That's a very high level of Torah Shebaal Peh. But either way, what this Rashi reflects is that when it comes to the oral law, when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh, just reading alone, insufficient, not enough. What you need to do is actually understand it. Because if you come to the Torah Shebaal Peh shir, the schar you're getting is running. Again, hopefully here, you know, people in the past have referenced ideas that we've spoken about, and I always appreciate that. Weeks later, because that means it's not just the Igra, the Parka, as Riyata. So if anyone wants to remind me of the shir in a couple months.
You could fill two mitzvahs that way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Remember that.
So are they, the question in group head is, are they on the same level?
What, Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Sof?
If I just listen to Torah the Chtav, I listen to listen to Torah. Mm-hmm. If I listen to Torah Shebaal Peh and I understand it and listen to it.
So it sounds like what he's saying, by definition, learning Torah Shebaal Sof, reading. By definition, Torah Shebaal Peh is to understand.
Oral law.
Yeah, Torah Shebaal Peh is the oral law, exactly.
There are a few hundred students very nearby who would love to get paid for attendance.
Exactly. By the way, sometimes attendance, as a teacher now in Ida Crown, sometimes attendance is really the main idea. Once you have them there, it's easier. Exactly. But the truth is, positive reinforcement is a very good idea. So we get the similar idea from the Gemara in Brachos that says that Torah is a ref. In the Pasuk, it's Darshing a Pasuk we're not going to get into right now, is Zeh Mikra and V'hamitzvah Zu Mishnah. And in that context, Rashi says, what is Mishnah? She Yis'asku B'Mishnah. What's Yis'asku? Delve into it, to understand it. And that's what the Rav concludes in Source 12, Ach Barar V'Hadavar Muvan Me'ilav. It's clear and the matter is self-understood. K'biyachas l'Torah Shebaal Peh, when it comes to the oral Torah, leka kiyuma dekriya klal klal. There's no fulfillment. If I just read a Gemara and I have no idea what I'm saying, that's not called learning Torah Shebaal Peh.
Mitzvah. So if you zoom through that building.
Correct. If you're going to sit there and not at 5 o'clock in the morning and not understand anything you're reading, it's better, according to this idea, to pick up a chumash than to pick up a daf yomi. Yeah. Or Gemara daf yomi. Again, obviously, hopefully, we can understand the daf yomi at 5 o'clock also. Now, there's a reason we're waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But, yeah, exactly. Mitzvahs lima Torah Shebaal Peh v'kiyuma hu rak ayudei havanas tefarim. And we'll get back to in a couple minutes why that is. But so far, what we've established for the Rav, Torah, sometimes attendance is just, you know, they're all in the halls. Torah Shebaal Sof, the mitzvah is to read it, even if you don't understand it. Torah Shebaal Peh, is the mitzvah is to understand it. So far, so good. Everyone clear?
Yep.
Amazing. Now, there's two aspects of learning the written Torah. And this is the question that we have to get and that Nathan was trying to tease out before. And the Rav has a question on himself. You look in source number 13. The Kan Hamakshin Shoel. He's intellectually honest. You know, someone who's thinking about it and might ask questions is going to ask. Eith Yalah Hadas Ki Rak Mitzvah. Whenever there's a word in the Rav in Hebrew that you don't understand, and you don't have no idea what that is, assume it's English. Rak Mitzvah Mechanit. Like a mechanical. Yesh la b'torah shebichsav, that there's only, is there possible, there's only going to be a mechanical mitzvah to read Torah shebichsav, the written Torah? The in kriya, vein hevdom in kriya ha'malava yidei havana, levein zu she'in ba mishem havana, and that there's no difference between, on the one hand, a reading that has understanding, and a reading that doesn't have the understanding, they're going to be the same thing. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the written Torah, of learning Torah, is only going to be reading without understanding, and there's no difference if you understand or not. Is that hayitachin? Is that possible? So the Rav says, Vada yi'efshir lomar kein. You can't say that. It's impossible to say that. Ach hatshuva pshuta. The answer is simple. Yesh shnei kiyumim b'lima Torah shebichsav. Namely, we were trying to draw this nice, neat box. Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebal Peh. No. Torah Shebichsav has two elements. One element is to read without understanding. And then there's a second element, which is obviously a better element, of reading with understanding. But there's still that element that reading without understanding is important and a value. And we might even make Kriya Satorah related to that, which we'll get back to in a second, but that there are these two elements when it comes to Torah Shebichsav. Namely, reading without understanding, that's still called learning Torah, the written Torah. And then there's also learning with understanding, which is its own separate fulfillment of reading Torah Shebichsav. And obviously the second one is going to be more ideal, which we'll get back to in a couple seconds. So where does the Rav make this up from? Like, there's two elements. How do we get that? So he brings a support from the pasuk that we read just a few short weeks ago. Seems like a lifetime ago with everything going on. But if you look in source number 14, Dvarim Perek Lamed Aleph pasuk Yates, the Ata Kisu Lachem Es Hashira Zos. We should write down this song. V'lomda Es Bnei Yisrael Sim B'fihem. Teach Bnei Yisrael and put it in their mouths. That this song can serve as a witness for me. So the Rav in source number 15 says that there seems to be two elements being alluded to by this pasuk. The sima befihem, putting it in their mouths, namely, just read it. It's in their mouths. They don't even have to understand what's going on, but they just need to be able to say it and or hear it, right? Sima befihem. Reading without understanding, but then va'ansa hashira hazos le'ed. This song is supposed to serve as a witness. Now, let me ask you: can the serve and the warnings of the song of Hazinu serve as a witness if you have no idea what the song is saying? You have no idea what the warnings are, what it's foretelling, and how to avoid those situations. Can it serve as a witness then? Absolutely not. So, in order for a shira to serve as an aid, in order for the song to serve as a witness, you need to understand what's going on. So we see that by Torah Shebichsav, we have these two elements. We have the element of reading without understanding, but we also have the, which is the Sima Befihem, but we also have the Talmud Torah Shebichsav, which is supposed to serve as a witness, and that is Talmud Torah with understanding. And he contrasts that with Torah Shebal Peh, that Torah Shebal Peh only has that second element. If you look in source number 16, V'odzos Hakim HaRishon, Kriya b'li havana mishtayech leTorah Shebichsav v'ofen yichudi. It's unique to Torah Shebichsav. Kiyem ze eino chal legabi Torah Baal Peh klal klal. It's not relevant to Torah Shebal Peh at all. And he's going to keep on going, and he makes an amazing point. Why is it that this idea of reading without understanding counts for the written Torah and not for Torah Shebal Peh? Because what is Torah Shebal Peh?
Explanation.
It's an explanation of Torah Shebichsav. So if it's supposed to be an explanation, if you don't understand that explanation, what is Torah Shebal Peh? And this is what he says at the end, right? If you look at the last two lines of source 16, Mahi Torah Shebal Peh. What is Torah Shebal Peh? Em lo perish Torah Shebichsav. If it is not just an explanation of the written Torah, Em eineni mavina. If I don't understand the oral Torah, ein hi mifareshesli. It's not explaining anything to me. The ain kim kriyasa ham ilolitz. I'm just going to read it? I'm just going to read through Daf Yomi and not understand anything? What am I doing? What am I doing? But some reason, some way, we're going to say that by Torah Shebichsav, it's going to matter. We still have to figure out why. But for some reason, Torah Shebichsav, it's going to matter. So where we are right now, and just to review for a second before we put everything together, which is Torah Shebal Peh is just an explanation of Torah Shebichsav. The oral Torah is just an explanation of the written Torah. And therefore, the only way to fulfill it is by being misasik and understanding it. And if you don't understand it and you just read it, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. He says that explicitly, black on white. If you just read Torah Shebal Peh, v'svasayim v'inim mivinam, ain li shim kiyum li b'Torah Shebal Peh. However, Torah Shebichsav is different. Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, has these two elements, again, based on this pasuk of the sima b'fihem, where just reading without understanding matters, but then it also can be an aid, it could serve as a witness when you understand it. Those are the two elements of reading Torah Shebichsav. Anyone have any questions to this point? Okay, so...
talking about the Shira, obviously yeah. That's assume it's an example for the Torah B'chlal.
Yeah.
Referring to just
that. Right, so the whole question, what is Hashira Hazos, is referring to the general Torah, Hazinu, etc. Yeah. Because it's also, it serves as the source, as everyone has to write their own Sefer Torah, right? So Sefer Torah doesn't just have the Parsha of Hazinu, right? So that's definitely part of it. But yeah, he's using it as a source to for the whole Torah, not just for Hazinu, exactly. But you see from Hazinu, these two elements, exactly. Okay, so how does this answer our question? Like we started with, we have Moshe's decree and Ezra's decree. And again, next week, Rabbi Lichtman will speak about Ezra's decree. But how do you understand Moshe's decree in the words of the Rambam, or the Gemara's Takanas Nevi'im? So the Rav says, it makes absolutely perfect sense. And the real Rav is really a genius. And when you see next week, you come back, Eretz Hashem, and you'll see the second part, and you realize how this fits the whole framework, and it's perfect. But he says, what is Moshe Rabbeinu's takana? What was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to accomplish when he said we need to read the Torah? What was he trying to do? Why do we have to read the Torah? So he suggests, and we'll have to figure this out, that if you look in Source 17, second line, or you can start with the first line, Al-Rekazad, the first background, with this background, Nitin Lahavin Ofi Takanas Moshe Vizikasa L'Takanas Ezra. We can understand what Takanas Moshe is. Ein Safik Badavar, there is no doubt, Ki Takanas Moshe Misyacheses L'Kiyem Kriya Shel Torah Bechsav V'lo L'Libud. Moshe's Takana, Moshe's decree, is basically saying, when we do Kriyas HaTorah, we are tapping into that first element, reading without understanding. We're not necessarily even trying to understand. We are just trying to encounter the Word of God and have a reading without understanding. So if you notice, there's no miturgamon. There's no one who needs to translate according to Takanas Moshe. Right? It's like that child or woman or ger who's coming to Hakel. They're experiencing the Word of God. And that is what we are getting. It's a kriya without havana. And that is what kriya satora was for Takanas Moshe. Namely, what is Moshe instituting with when it comes to kriya satora? Read the Torah, even if you don't understand it. And that is what Takanas Moshe is about. We have to read the Torah, to even though we're not going to understand it, tapping into that first fulfillment of the written Torah. There is a fulfillment of even understanding, but that's not what Kriyas HaTorah is for Moshe Rabbeinu. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Kriyas HaTorah is tapping into that first element, namely reading the written Torah, even though you don't understand. That is what Rav Soloveitchik suggests. You have a question?
Yeah, I would say from the word Kriya, that means to read, that means that everybody here has an obligation to read.
We're going to speak about that, namely, not today. But there's a big question when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah we're going to get back to. Whether Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyav on the yachid or a chiyav on the tzipur. Is it a chiyav on the individual or on the congregation? A lot of interesting sources about that. Rav Chaim Brisker himself. And it might be actually a dispute between Brisk and Volozhin. We'll have to get back to that. Future attractions, as they say. But we get to learn about it because we're doing Kriyas HaTorah, so that's very exciting. So, but either way, anyone have any questions on this idea? Namely, Moshe's Rabbeinu is saying we need to have a Kriyas HaTorah that is about just reading without understanding. And that's why there's not going to be a Meturgamon or anything like that.
So there's no hidden agenda like Shalom, Mishnah,
No. No. And now the obvious question is, why? Why do we read the Torah Shebichsav and not try and understand it? Like, why is there that first element of just reading Torah Shebichsav? Yeah. Why is it obvious? What? From Hakel. But why do we do it at Hakel?
It happened.
So we have to try and figure it out. So the Rav has this beautiful suggestion. So if you look at, and turning on to the last page of the packet, wherever, whichever packet you're in, source number 18. So what was the background of the Takana? Right? The background of the Takana is that the Jews went 3 days without Torah and they were complaining of thirst. So the Rav's playing into that imagery in source 18. Takanas Moshe ba la'efsher li'Yisrael lishbor sma'am u'lishater b'divrei Torah u'liyodeh yodeh shemo ayideh kriya af imhi notelas havana b'limud. B'nei Yisrael was thirsty. What do you do when you're thirsty? You're looking for something. And what the Rav suggests is they wanted to be literally adorned with the words of Torah and to yodeh shemo. The Ramban in his Hakdama to Bereishis says that the whole Sefer, the whole Chumash, makes up, again, Kabbalistically, or what this means, we might get back to this later in the year when we talk about Berachas HaTorah, but it means that the whole Torah is Hashem's name. And when you read the Torah, you are encountering the divine. You're encountering the divine. And what he calls it, Yodei Shemo Ayidei Kriya. Because all of Torah is divine. So even though you're not going to understand it, it's as if we are having an experience with the divine. We're becoming a Yodei Shemo, even when you read and don't understand. We're not even understanding what's going on. I'm not even learning anything. But just by reading the Torah, I'm encountering the divine. I'm becoming a Yodei Shemo.
You mean hearing, not reading.
Exactly, yeah. Hearing. Hu lo mitzvos limud. Ki im mitzvos kiddush hagavra ayidei talmud Torah. By hearing the Torah, I am experiencing the divine and raising myself up to what he's calling kiddush hagavra, sanctifying our personalities are being literally uplifted by encountering the divine. And he says a great catch in the Rambam. If you notice, we didn't point this out in the beginning, but if you notice the Rambam in source number one, is the Rambam added a word when he talked about the decree. If you look at the end of the source number one, he says what Moshe Rabbeinu made. He says, "Kidei shelo yishu," at the end of the first line, "shelo yishu shlosha yamim below shmias ha-Torah." Right? Without hearing the Torah. The Gemara just said they shouldn't go 3 days without Torah. Why did the Rambam add in shmias ha-Torah without hearing the Torah? But for the Rav, it works perfectly. Because what we're about to say is, v'zeh masha hosef ha-Rambam, aloshon ha-Braisa. And we quote the line, takanaso hitmakda b'kriya v'shmias hadarim v'lo b'havanasam. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's takana wasn't about limud Torah. It wasn't about that second element of learning and understanding. It was just about this experience with the divine. I am experiencing the word of God, and that is going to uplift me as a person, and that is what Moshe Rabbeinu is getting at. Kiddush hagavra u'ha'ikar. We encounter the divine through Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore we are going to be uplifted. We don't need to understand, that's maybe we'll come back to, is Takanas Ezra. But Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, in short, what is Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu? That is going to be uplifting the person by encountering the divine in a reading of the Torah, even though we don't understand. So just to summarize, we saw the background. The Gemara said that it's a Takana of the Nevi'im. We spoke about, the Rambam calls it Takanas Moshe. We gave the three reasons of the Kesef Mishnah, either because Moshe was there, Moshe needed Moshe's stamp of approval, or that there's other Gersos. Then we spoke about that there's this element of Torah Shebichsav that it focuses on reading even without understanding. Torah Shebaal Peh is definitely not that. But then we know that Torah Shebichsav really has two elements: reading without understanding or reading with understanding. And then finally we said that Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana, is really channeling that first one, which is to read the Torah, to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, encounter the divine, and through that uplift ourselves. And who here during Kriyas HaTorah has ever thought about that? We have to get back as to what changed by Takanas Ezra, but to realize what we're doing is really encountering some type of encounter with the Word of God, trying to create some type of experience which ultimately should be able to uplift ourselves and to have that Kiddush HaGavra that the Rav is speaking about. Shkayach.